Hello, church family. This is Pastor James McManus with Word of God Ministries. I want to thank you for tuning in to today's podcast. My prayer today is that this word encourages and deepens your faith. Again, thanks for tuning in.
The sower soweth the word. Jesus here is talking about the word being seed. And the word of God is seed. 1 Peter 1:23 says that you couldn't be born again without the incorruptible seed of God's word. God's word is the seed. And here in this parable of the sower, Jesus said the sower sows the word, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately. What's he coming for? To take away the word that was sown in their hearts. So in this series, what I really felt led of the Lord to do was to take various things that are found in Scripture that might help us view the fire of trial and trouble differently. Today, I want to talk about number two, and that is our trial could be based on what we've been planting, based on what we've been planting. And there's two parts to this that we'll deal with today. Number one, we can go through a trial because we've been planting good seed. We can also be going through a trial because we've been planting bad seed. But sowing itself, planting, can bring about a trial. And Jesus is dealing with it here in Mark 4:15 when he said, when the word is sown, there are those that are on the wayside. The wayside is not good soil. The seed has fallen. The enemy comes and to remove it before it ever gets in the earth to yield its harvest. So you can't hear the word and not expect the enemy to see if he can get you to doubt it or move off of it. Because if you allow the word of God to get in your heart, Isaiah 55 verses 8 through 11 tells us that that word, once it's planted, will never return to God void. This word, like seed in dirt, was meant to bring forth harvest. But that word won't bring forth a harvest if you don't ever put it where it belongs. And the word of God does not belong necessarily on the coffee table as a centerpiece in grandmother's living room. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Ain't nothing wrong with the big white family Bible open on the coffee table in grandmother's living room open to the 23rd Psalm. There's nothing wrong with that, but if you don't get the 23rd Psalm in your heart, it won't do no good on your coffee table. The word of God thrown in the back dash of your car so you can let everybody that follows you know that you are a Christian won't do no good if you don't get that word from the back dash of your car and in your heart. Toting the Bible to church won't do you any good if you don't open it while you're at church and let this word get sown in your heart. The point that Jesus is saying here is that the enemy is going to always come when you hear the word to take that word from the place that it's guaranteed to bring a harvest. And when the word of God gets in the heart of man, it will bring forth a harvest that will glorify God. And so the enemy's objective is to prevent that word from ever getting in the soil of your heart. That means no matter what the topic might be, whatever you're hearing, whatever's in your daily devotion time, what you've been reading, what you've been hearing, a series that we're studying here as we gather as a church, the enemy's going to test that with trial. I didn't come up with that. Jesus is telling us of this so we don't get offended when it happens, so that we can understand it. I've said for a long time, two things are going to come when you hear the word. They're guaranteed. Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Mark 4:15, the enemy comes when you hear the word of God. And that might explain why you got in church, started doing the right thing, and then all of a sudden, you know, all Hades started breaking loose, and you wondered why. That's why. The enemy's testing you, trying to get that word out of your life before it ever gets into your heart. Are you hearing him saying to you? He doesn't want it in your heart. He doesn't want it in your heart. If it doesn't get in your heart, it won't work. I was last week planting some rye seed for ryegrass in various places on our yard, and I had done some yard work, and I didn't want the rain to wash it all away, so I threw some ryegrass out. And yesterday I came home from lunch, and I had the ryegrass bag in the back of a little RTV, and all the goats, all Chris's goats, all five of them were on the RTV. And I couldn't understand why did all the goats get in that little bitty section in the back of the RTV. They was all gathered there. And I walked up to see what's going on. And man, all the heads down in my seed bag, eating my seed. They had to run them goats off there like, get off, you're eating my seed. I ain't even got my seed in the ground yet. You eating my seed. Man, I ran them off the RTV and they all hollered, bah, bah, bah. I said, you doggone right. You're going to be saying bah if you don't leave my stuff alone. They were eating my seed before you even got my seed in the ground. Man, they running off and the pellets coming out there. That you didn't understand. You ever seen a goat? Is it like a BB gun? Bah, 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 bah. I mean, it's just... And I said, I hope y'all ate enough, and I hope you're spreading my seed right now. Don't let the enemy eat your seed. Take a neighbor that. Don't let the enemy eat your seed. See, when you hear the word, Satan says, let me get that seed. That before it gets in your heart, before that thing really gets inside of you, let me remove your seed. And so much of what we face is the enemy testing the seed. You can't hear a word on marriage and the enemy not test that in your marriage. You can't hear a word on parenting and the enemy not test that with your kids. You can't hear a word on finances without the enemy testing that with your bank account. You can't hear a word on love without the enemy testing that with some of the craziest folk you ever met. So I can walk in persecution because of the seed that I've been planting. Go with me to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. So when they had heard the word, Satan comes immediately. When they had heard the word, Satan comes immediately. So what's he coming for? Why is God allowing it? He's coming to test whether or not you're going to let that word stay in your heart. But the Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, oh my goodness. And are y'all in Mark 10? Stay there, but I need to just quote something from Galatians chapter 6 for your notes, because there's something said in verses 6 and 7 that I want to make sure I get right. I think it's in verses 6 and 7, or 7 and 9 rather. Verse 7 says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man sows, that will he surely reap. So Galatians 6, 7 says, if you have sown it, you're going to walk in the harvest of it. But obviously, you can sow something and not walk in the harvest of it, because verse 9 goes on to say, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. What does if you faint not mean? Well, the word faint means give up, cave in, and quit. So the word is saying, in due season, you will harvest if you don't give up, cave in, and quit. That means that seed that you've been planting in your life, that word that you've been reading into the midnight hour, those scriptures that you've been declaring over your life, whatever it is you've been meditating on, that word as you plant it in your heart, God is saying there's a time stamp when that word is going to manifest and come to pass in your life. But the enemy is coming to see, can he get you to give up on that seed? Can he get you to give up on that soil that you've been planting? I have witnessed this and it grieves me. Believers that will get into the word of God, sow the word in their life, let affliction, let persecution, let struggle get them offended. They walk away from the word that they've been sown in. They walk away, they get offended at man, offended at the church, offended at the preacher, offended at God, and walk away from their harvest. Never see the fruit of their harvest, because after sowing seed, they let persecution drive them away from the seed that they have sown. And they are an example of Galatians 6, 9. They got weary in well-doing and never reaped in due season. Why? Because they gave up, they caved in, and they quit. Church, make a decision that you're not going to give up on what you have sown, that you're not going to walk away from the word of God. Listen, I don't know about you, but I have come too far and gone through too much for me to turn back now. No, Jesus said in Luke 9, 62, no man having put his hands to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Notice the language that Jesus is using in Luke 9, 62. No man having put his hand to the plow, I'm plowing the soil to do what? To cultivate the ground. to get my seed in the ground. This is a labor of sowing that I might reap. He said, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Well, what is he looking back at? Looking back at what he left behind. Looking back at the world. Looking back at his old life. Looking back because he's being tempted and drawn away. Church, once you planted this word in your life, you got to make a decision that you're not going to move come to hell or high water. I will not be moved. The word says, having done all you know to do, stand therefore. That's Ephesians 6. The word in 1 Corinthians 15:58 is this. That we are not to grow weary in well-doing, but that we are to be found faithful, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. You've got to recognize that what you have planted in your life, if you're ever going to see the harvest of it, you can't be moved off that word. For many believers, it's not that you haven't done the right thing, it's just that you have not done it long enough. The Bible says, add patience to your faith that you might walk in the harvest of your faith. Don't get weary in well doing. Can I breathe now? I'm trying to help somebody from quitting. I'm trying to stop somebody from walking away from your seed. Look at your neighbor and say, don't walk away from your seed. Now, not only do we not need to walk away from the spiritual seed that we've sown in our heart, God's word, but we can't walk away from the seed of sacrifice, the seed of service, the seed of our lives being poured into the gospel. Some of y'all have been in this for a minute, and some of you, it's brand new to you. But there's a process of sowing your lives into the kingdom by yielding yourself to serve. See, we say we go to service. I'm going to Sunday service, but we don't serve. You need to be involved in service because God will honor your service. When you give God an offering, when you give God a sacrifice, when you give an alms, when you help the poor, those are seeds that's being sown in your life by your service, by your sacrifice. The enemy wants you to walk away from what you've sown before you walk in the harvest of it. Let me prove to you what I'm saying. Watch this in Mark chapter 10, and I want to go down to verse number 28. Because Jesus is dealing with the topic here of trusting in riches. And he says that it's impossible to enter the kingdom if you trust in your riches. Well, Peter got a little bothered by the statement. And we see in verse 28, then Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left all and have followed thee. So Peter's like, Jesus, what you talking about? We left everything to follow you. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, comma. He's saying whatever the gospel has cost you, your spouse left you over it. Your mother and father put you out the house over it. You had brothers that disowned you for it. You lost land. You lost houses. Whatever it was that serving and sacrificing unto the Lord has cost you as a seed. And that's something I didn't spend a lot of time with last week, but it's the point I was making when we got to Luke 6 last week. You've got to count whatever living for Jesus is costing you. You've got to count it as a seed and recognize that's just one more seed I have in the ground that God will bring to harvest in my life. So Jesus is saying here, treat whatever you have lost like seed. And the reason I say that is because in Mark 4, where we just left, starting in verse 14, when he said the sower sows the word, he lists this group that hears the word, receives the word, and don't move off the word. He says that group brings forth a 30-fold, a 60-fold, and a 100-fold return. They get the optimum return of the word being sown in their life. He uses that same language here. But here in Mark 10, he's not talking about the word being sown in our heart. He's talking about what we have given to the gospel. Are y'all with me? And this is what he says. Verse 30. but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time. Not in the blue by yonder when he gets to heaven. No, in this time. God said, whatever you have lost in this life, I'm going to give you the hundredfold back in this life. Whatever it's cost you, whatever lives left you, whatever relationships were broken because of your faith, I'll multiply it back in this time, in this life, 100 times over. The word 100 means optimum. I'm going to give you the optimum return. Now, there are some that might be hearing me say this, and you say, well, I have not walked in the optimum return. I've sown seed, but I haven't seen the hundredfold return. Watch what he says carefully in verse 30. But he shall receive a hundredfold. Now, in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands. Now, read the next two words. With persecutions. In other words, he's saying you're not just going to walk in the hundredfold return. Whatever you have sown, this hundredfold return is not just going to come easy. You're not just going to sow your seed and then walk into harvest. He's saying, no, that seed will be persecuted. There will be persecution in order for you to walk in this hundredfold. Think of how many believers have sown the right service, have sown the right sacrifice, have sown the word in their heart. But when the enemy attacked that process, they walked away from their seed and never saw that thing come to harvest in their life. That's what I'm trying to prevent from happening to you. Don't walk away from your seed. Recognize that there's going to be a fire. There's going to be a trial that's really going to test my faith, but I'm not going to get weary and well do it. I'm not going to abandon my seed, not because I want the harvest, but I want God to be glorified in my life. And God is glorified in my life when his word comes to pass in my life. See, many times we take a person's life and we treat it like a book. Now, I'm getting older, but I'm not old. I'll be saying that when I turn 80. So I don't think I'm in the last chapter of my life. So don't say that about me. I don't even want to say I'm at the end of the book. All I do know is that I've been through some stuff. I need somebody to feel what I'm saying. I don't know how thick my book is or how close I am to the last chapter, but I do know there has been some trial in my life. I do know I've been tempted to quit. I do know I've been tempted to walk away. I do know the seed that I've sown in my life has been met with persecution. See, that's my testimony. You know your testimony. But folk are bad about looking at somebody's life and seeing where they are in their family, in their marriage, with their children, on their job, in their livelihood, and making judgment, either being critical of where somebody is or envious of where somebody is, without ever taking into consideration that nobody got to the much until they had been faithful over the little. Many times we want to read the chapter about how it all came together, but that ain't the chapter you need to read. You need to read the earlier chapters. You need to read of the sacrifice. You need to read of what I went through to get to where God took me. It didn't just happen overnight. It was a process. Jesus said in Luke 16 and 10 that no man enters into the much until he has been faithful over the little. And right now you might be in your little season. That don't mean you won't get to your much season. It just means you got to show yourself faithful in your little season so that you can walk in the much. And that seed you've been sowing and those prayers that you've been praying and that word that you've been planting and that service and sacrifice that you've been sowing is not in vain in the Lord. Don't walk away from your seed. Amen? Now go with me to the table of contents. It's at the beginning of your Bible. And find there the book of Hosea. Because some of us have not been saved that long. And we're going to be over in the New Testament trying to find Hosea next to Jude. And he's in the Old Testament, page number 1079 in my Bible. So go to page 1079. No, I'm kidding. That's where it's at in my Bible. Table of contents help you get there. Some of y'all needed to go to the table of contents. You know you do. So just go ahead and thank me. Say thank you. I'm trying to help you out. I'm helping myself out. I still hadn't found Obadiah. And I know it's in the Bible. Hosea chapter 10. When you get there, put a bookmark. No, I'm just kidding. Stay right there. I ain't gonna dare let you leave it once you find it. Verse 12. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Read that out loud. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. He's saying, do you want mercy in your life? Then sow the right seed. I think sometimes the enemy convinces us that we've sown so much bad in our life, what's the use of now sowing good? And God is saying, if you'll start sowing righteousness, I'll let you walk in mercy. If I'm sowing righteousness, I might not necessarily need mercy right now because I'm doing the right thing. No, it's because that harvest of mercy for sowing righteousness is the mercy I need for when I wasn't sowing righteousness. Somebody needed that. Don't let the enemy keep you in your past. Don't let the enemy talk about all the bad that you've done. You can make a decision right now to break up your fallow ground and to change the seed you've been sowing and start walking in a new harvest. But you can't expect a new harvest if you keep planting the same old seed. I just don't have any friends. Well, he that hath friends must first show himself friendly. Well, Pastor, I hear you, but I was friendly to her for 3 weeks, and she ain't showing me no kind of favor. No, you're trying to pick your friend. Be friendly to everybody. Let God pick the friend. Yep, you needed that too. Break up your fallow ground. Break up your fallow ground, your hard ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain. Rain down on me till he come and rain righteousness upon you. God said, if you'll get the right seed in the ground, I'll rain on you. And I know once the seed gets in the heart and the rain hits that soul, a harvest is going to come forward. And that's what God is talking about here. But then he says something in verse 13, because now it's time to turn the page. Because not only has God called us to sow good seed and to walk in the harvest of that seed, we will walk in the seed that we've sown that was bad. But before I get to that bad seed that y'all don't hear nothing about, let me talk a little bit more about this good seed. If you've raised a child or you're raising a child and you've been sowing the good seed in that child's life and you know what's in them, don't get weary on them when it looks like that's not coming to harvest in their life. What I'm wanting to address now is don't abandon the seed you've sown in others. So I've been telling you this whole time, don't abandon the seed you've sown in your own life, but hey, don't abandon the seed you've sown in other people's lives. Whether that's somebody you've been mentoring, ministering to, or leading, or whether it's a parent to a child, that you know what seed you've sown in their life. You know what you've poured in them. And it looks like right now, that's not what's at the surface. That's not what's growing in their life. Listen, don't walk away from the seed that you have planted. Sometimes the people sow the right things in us, or you have sown the right things in someone else or in your children, and it looks like that thing's not coming to harvest. It's not manifesting. It's not producing in their life. But that doesn't mean it's not there. My wife and I love to eat Italian, and we'll go get some of that olive oil, and we'll put some little olive oil in the saucer, and then take some of that, what do you call that vinegar stuff? Balsamic vinegar. Yeah, and we put some of that on there. And you can't hardly get it to mix. You got to do some serious stirring because the two don't go together. Listen, sometimes God will look at your life and say, I know what I put in them. And they let all this stuff, this other stuff come in their life, but I know what I put in them. And God will let this go on in your life. I got to stir them up. I've got to shake them up. I've got to put them in a position that will cause that faith that I know that is in them to rise up. I got to do something to cause the gift and the anointing of the Spirit that I know that is in them to rise up. We've got to learn how to stir folk up. We've got to learn how to be in the right environment that stirs up the gift of the Spirit, that stirs up the gift of faith. Sometimes it's not because it's not in you. You just need a little stirring.
I want to thank you for tuning in to today's message on our podcast. If this word encouraged you, visit our website at wogm.com for more information and resources. I'm Pastor James McManus. Have a blessed week.